On today's program, I'm going to share with you the last 60 seconds right before a person's soul and spirit comes out of their body, even if they're alert or if they're not alert. And I call this the final thoughts during your last breath here on earth. Got a lot of scriptures to show you, so let's get right into this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, Solomon wrote about he uses the imagery, kind of a poetic imagery and metaphors about dying. Let's read this together. It's going to come up on your screen. "And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be on the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the street." Now, he's describing a death that has taken place. "Or ever the silver cord be loosed." There's a real revelation in that verse right there. "Or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, and the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." Now, I could spend time talking about what he meant about the golden bow and the pitcher being broken. It actually refers to what is inside of it comes out at the breaking of it. So, in other words, according to the Bible, you are a body and a soul and a spirit. And what happens is at death, the soul and spirit exits out of the physical body. Now, we know if you want to talk about the body, you go first to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, where God said to Adam that he was created from the dust, and from dust he shall return. So the physical body, over a period of months or years, depending upon the circumstance, after death, literally returns back to the dust. But you also are a soul and a spirit. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about presenting your body, soul, and spirit blameless to the before the Lord, and that God makes you whole, that your whole body, soul, and spirit. So you're a three-part being is what I'm trying to say. Everybody knows the body. You see, you're looking at Perry Stone here. This is his body you're looking at. So there's the body and there's the soul. Now, what is the soul? Now, this is interesting. The soul is connected to something called the breath of life. And that phrase is found in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where when God created Adam, he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man, or Adam, became a living soul. Then there's also the spirit. Now, a lot of times, there can be a little bit of confusion in understanding what is the difference between the human soul and the human spirit. Well, to simplify it, let me say it to you this way. Your spirit, if it were to come out of your body, would look like your twin. When Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to paraphrase it, that one day we would be known even as we were known. In other words, how we were known on earth, we would be recognized in heaven by those who knew us. That is the spirit that looks like you, the spirit that is, it's like, I describe it this way, your spirit is like a balloon, and when you fill that balloon up with air, it will take on the form of what that balloon was molded to be. I saw a balloon one time that looked like a hand. Now, without air in it, it was just a flat piece of like an elastic or whatever a balloon is made out of. But when you breathed into it, it blew up into a hand. So when the soul and spirit leaves your body, you have an empty shell. You have the bones, you have the flesh. Of course, during embalming process, the blood is removed, but that's your body. It goes to dust. The soul is the intellect, the mind, the will. The spirit is the part of you that looks like you. Now, I want to read to you, and these are come up on the screen, several verses that deal with the breath of God and how important that breath is. And so we breathe air. We breathe air that has oxygen that our organs need to survive. But look at these verses, Psalms 104:29. "You hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath." See that verse there? "And they die and return to the dust." This is a great revelation. So once the breath, and let me talk to you about breath here for a moment, because we think that means physical breathing, but the word breath can be translated as ruach in Hebrew, and ruach can mean wind, breath, or spirit. It's the same word. The Ruach HaKodesh is the spirit that is holy, or the Holy Spirit. So we could say this, that you take away their spirit and they die and they return to the dust. But you are living as long as you are breathing. Okay? Job 33 and verse 4 says this, "The breath of the Almighty gives me life." That's why God said to Adam that you are a living soul, because I have breathed into you the breath of life. Job 34 and 14 says this, and I think I may have put verse 15 in there as well. You can look at that. But it says, "If he," this is God, "should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to the dust." Now, once again, we see this concept among the ancient men of God that tells us that once the breath or the ruach or the spirit or the life force exits the body, then what happens? Man will return to the dust. So the breath of life is what kept our physical life alive. As long as that breath of life is there, the heart pumps. If the heart pumps, the blood goes to the organs. As long as there's oxygen and heartbeat and blood, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That flesh will live. Now, if a person's in a coma, as long as the machines keep the heart beating, they can keep that flesh living because they can pump the heart or they can pump air into the person. But once the breath of life, which is the eternal spirit, comes out of the body, and there is, and I don't want to get into this because this is a complete another teaching, that there is a silver cord that connects your spirit to your body. Once that cord is cut, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, that's when you go to your long home. And if you're in covenant with Jesus and you have followed him faithfully, then the Bible tells us that God will receive your spirit, that your spirit will go back to God who gave it. Now, those are a few verses I wanted you to look at, but I want to share some things with you that, you know, over the past couple months, and you will do this more only when someone that you really care about, and it may be your mom and dad, a sibling or a family member, passes away, you will become interested in life after death. You've heard me talk about my precious cousin, Luanna. 2 months before she passed away, when we would talk, she had all of my books, and she was reading the ones on Secrets of Paradise and the Gates of Heaven and all that. And these are really fabulous, detailed books about death. So she would ask me numerous questions. And we look back on it, and we would say, you know, did she sense something, or was her spirit preparing her for something, and that's why she was curious about it, or was she just curious about it? Well, you'll discover this, that after people pass away, you will want to know more about what happens when a person dies. Well, when you go to social media, there are what are called NDEs, near-death experiences, and there are probably, I don't know this for a fact, but it looks to me like it. Sometimes there are thousands of them. So everybody has a story. Now, I want to make this very clear, that when we look at the ones that talk about going to heaven or going to hell, some of them are completely not biblical, and I write them off. I say, well, they were either hallucinating or they were on some kind of medication, because what they just said absolutely cannot be found in the scripture. So I don't necessarily believe everything that I see or hear on some of them. However, you can usually tell, especially if it's an educated person, a professor, if it's someone who is an atheist, and they had the experience and it changed their life, for example, to follow the Lord when they didn't even believe in God, well, you know, it had to be some kind of a real experience. Now, another thing you got to understand too is a lot of non-Christians do not study the Bible, and they don't know anything about what the Bible says. So I'm going to do this for you. If you're a person who does not attend church, or a person that has not received Christ, I'm going to tell you the five or six, probably five common things that happen when everybody dies. It does not matter where they end up in these five things. Number five will tell you it does matter, but there's four of these things that happen to everybody, depending on if their spirit goes up to God or their spirit goes into what's called the underworld. And that's only two places every one of you watching me will end up. You're going to end up in one of the two. Number one, once they breathe their last breath, And these are people that have had an experience where they clinically died and they were revived by the doctor, or the Lord told them they could go back. It wasn't their time. That's the people we're talking about here. Number one is you will see your physical body for a brief moment as your soul and spirit exit out of the body. Now, one man described it like pulling a glove off of a hand, that his spirit came off just like you would pull a glove off of a hand. And everybody says, at the wreck, I saw my body slumped over in the hospital. I saw the doctors working on me. So they come out of their body. Now, I've heard several of them say, and this does make sense, that there's 360 vision at that moment. Our eyes only see what's in front of us. Then on the sides are what's called peripheral vision. But these people are able to see what's happening behind them, to the sides of them, and in front of them. Now, we're talking about the moment they die. Number two, everybody mentions a life review. And I have known people that have had these experiences, and they say, now, the strangest thing, Perry, is that the moment you're out of the body, before you go anywhere to one of those two places I told you, you will see from the moment you can remember everything that you said that was good or bad. It's like a computer kicks in. And one man told me before his plane crashed, he said, it happened to me and I cannot even explain it. It is literally, and you know it, it's everything. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry for me making the noise, but blah, 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 you know, like that. And it's there. And it's like, it don't matter if you live to be 80, you see it all. It is called a life review. Now, I won't get into this on this teaching because I'm working on a teaching for, not for Manifest, but to offer our people. And the Lord began to tell me to research the conscious and the subconscious and its link to the soul. That would take hours if I were to teach that. So we're not going to go there. But your conscious and subconscious is where these life reviews are stored, where all your information is in you. That's why you see it at death. The third thing everybody describes is a tunnel with a light at the end. Now, those whose soul and spirit went into what the Bible calls hell, and that's what most people will call it, they describe a tunnel with a light, but the light ends up being fire at the end, like almost like the bottom of a volcano. For those who go to heaven, they go out into the universe and they go into a tunnel of light. And it's really beautiful colors. And at the end, there's this bright light, very bright light. And then they're in either the presence of the Lord. Some see parts of paradise. Some may see the New Jerusalem. And some may just see angels. And it's two opposite places when this happens. The fourth thing that will happen, and this is connected to the tunnel and the light, is once they leave the earth, everybody talks about being pulled at such speed that you can't even measure it toward that light in that tunnel. If they are descending, it's at a really great speed. If they are ascending, one person described it to me, and they said, it's like I'm passing galaxies. You can see them around you, but it's happening so fast you can't even comprehend it. It's faster than the speed of light. I personally call it the speed of thought. Now, the fifth thing, and this is the most serious thing, and folks, I'm telling you, when I turned 65 years of age, my burden for people to get saved has been greater than it has been my entire ministry. I'm on a mission. I'm on an assignment to win everybody to the Lord that I can because of what I'm about to tell you. Hell is a real place. Forget what all these crazy contemporary preachers are preaching, and it's a metaphor, and hell is on earth, blah, blah, blah. That's false doctrine. That is called a doctrine of demons. And Paul warned about seducing spirits, pulling people from truth, and doctrines of demons. Hell is a real place. It exists under the earth, and everybody there sees fire. And there's a lot of other things they see as well. But then if you go upward, and you've been in covenant with God, you have kept a repentant heart and spirit, you've done the things God told you to do, you've tried to follow God's will to the best of your ability, then your end destination is 2 Corinthians 12, paradise, which is located in the third heaven. Now, let me talk to you for a moment about something that's very important, and that is this, that the greatest defense that you have now living on earth for not going to hell is the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord will come upon you if you go to do something contrary to your covenant or contrary to God's will, and you do it, there will be a sudden, really strange feeling of guilt or condemnation and fear. And let me just say to you that the fear of God and the fear of being separated from His presence, the fear of never seeing beautiful trees and flowers, the fear of never being with people who are righteous, the fear of being isolated and alone in what Jesus called outer darkness, that fear is what restrains you from being a wild person and just giving into your passions or your desires, whatever there may be. Now, we're told that fear is wisdom to depart from evil. That's Job 28:28. Fear is wisdom. The fear of God is wisdom that causes you to depart from evil. All right? Now, if you have hours or days remaining, and I'm talking to the living, you're going to think about this. Is there life after this life? Where am I going? Okay? Let me say it this way. I'm going to say this differently. Let's say that you are in the last 60 seconds of your life, but you're alert. I promise you, from thousands of hours of study over the years and reading books and hearing testimonies, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be saying, there is life after this life, but am I going to the right place? And you're either going to have total confidence that you are, or you're going to wonder, do I need to repent? That's going to happen to you. And I'm going to tell you, you better repent every way you can and say, God, I am sorry. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me in Jesus' name. You know, the thief on the cross, all he said to Jesus was, remember me when you come in the kingdom. And because his heart was toward Jesus, because he believed who Jesus was, the Lord heard him. So that is important, you know. Number two, you're going to have what I call a regret review. Did you work too hard and didn't spend enough time with your family? Did you focus on money? Did you really help people or were you selfish? You're going to have a regret review if you did not do what you should have done and you were selfish. Then here's what's going to happen that last 60 seconds if you're alert. You're going to have a spiritual review. Your spiritual review will be, where am I going? Am I going to heaven? Are my sins forgiven? Is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven? That's what you will wonder. Is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you've been lukewarm, especially, if you've not been following the Lord, just doing your thing, yeah, I'm a Christian, whatever, you're going to wonder this, is my name in the book? And the biggest thing, here's the biggest thing that's on your mind. I'm going to be very honest with you. Ready? The biggest thing that will be on your mind the last day you're on earth, if you know you're going, it's going to be soon, will be your family. Now, I can prove that to you from Genesis 49. When Jacob was dying, what did he do? He called his sons together, leaning on a staff. He was an old man, to bless them and to give them each a prophetic word. What did Moses do in Deuteronomy chapter 33? Before his departure, he called the tribes and the head of the tribes together, and he gave every man of every head of the tribe, whether it was the Levites or it was the Danites or it was the tribe of Judah, a prophetic word about their future. They were blessed. Jacob was blessing his sons, giving them a word. Moses was blessing the tribes, giving them a word. And guess what? When Jesus was taken to heaven in Luke 24 and verse 50, he raised his hands over 500 people that were there at once, according to Paul in Corinthians, and he blessed them kind of in the form of the priestly blessing of the Old Testament. So what Jacob was talking to his family. Moses was talking to his spiritual family of the tribes. Jesus was talking to his disciples. And so the point is that you will have on your mind your family. Now listen to me. I'm talking to somebody right now, somebody that's had a lot of family division, somebody that has people that maybe have done you wrong in your family, and you've cut them off. You better write them a letter. You better send them a card and forgive them and get it right. You do not want to be on your deathbed confessing something on your deathbed, because what if you don't have the opportunity to do that? I know of several women who have told me their stories of when they were young, they were molested. And toward the end of the life of the person who molested them, the man who did it would call them and say, please, I need you to come and see me, please. And none of them wanted to do it. But the Lord spoke to all of them that they needed to do it. And they would go and they stood. And in private, the person would cry and say, I'm sorry. I've lived in torment my whole life. and I'm going to die lost if I don't beg you to forgive me. And I tell you that I am so sorry for what I did. And I know people that it happened to, and they had the grace to forgive them and place them over to the hands of God. So you have to remember something. What can you leave people when you pass away? Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. When a call to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you, which was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. These women of God left their son and grandson faith. When my dad went to be home to be with the Lord, my dad didn't own much. I mean, he was a preacher from West Virginia and had four kids and had to work extra jobs to make it meet. You know, he left us his clothes, some books, and some shoes. I think he left us an old rifle. But you know what he left me? I love what I'm about to tell you. He left me a good name. Whew. He left me a name that had no tarnish or nothing about it questionable. When you say Fred Stone, I still meet people today who were healed miraculously and raised up from their deathbed under his ministry. His reputation became his legacy. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what you need to do as well. You need to make your reputation of being faithful to God, leave that and leave faith with your family. Because when you're breathing your last, you'll be thinking about where you're headed and did you live the right way. My time is up. What I'm about to offer you right now is one of the most moving things for me I've ever produced in my life. It's very powerful. It's something everybody needs to read, because if you don't need it now, you will later. I'll be right back.
Red Hawk County 911, where is your emergency?
There is a horse trailer and a dually just hit an SUV. Drove it all the way across the road.
Okay, yeah, if you could get, just find out if there's any injuries or entrapment.
There's entrapment, I can tell you that right now.
It was 10 o'clock Saturday morning when I FaceTimed my precious second cousin and very dear friend, telling her about my daughter Amanda preparing to trade in her old vehicle for a new one. I did not know it would be my last conversation with my cousin on the earth. Hours later, I received a call that she'd been killed in an intersection in Elkins, West Virginia. For months, I experienced very intense sorrow while wrestling with so many unanswered questions. Why did God allow a 63-year-old woman, a caregiver, with so many future plans to die so suddenly and without warning? For 3 months, I pored over scripture almost day and night for answers. Out of my research and personal grief, I wrote this 209-page book called Why Did You Leave Us So Soon? The Mystery of a Premature Death, to answer my questions and also questions you have asked me over the years. Here's a few chapter titles. There's a time to die and a time not to die. The danger of being with the wrong people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why are some healed and others are not? Why did one person die yet another person survive the same accident? How does a person break a protective hedge? How Christians can commit a sin unto death. Why do infants suddenly pass away? Does God honor a deathbed repentance? Here's a few more. How sinning Christians can be delivered to the will of Satan. The danger of offending your angel. Suicide and questions about eternity. Why are many Christians sick, weak, and many have died young? Why at times when you need an answer does God seem to say nothing? That's only 12 of the 22 chapters in the book. I want to say this, if you've ever lost a loved one to death and you had many unanswered questions, I hope you will order this book. It answers numerous confusing questions about the mystery of why people seem to die before their time. It will also teach you the biblical principles of learning how to discern coming danger and pray against it. That's a very important part of this book as well. When you order this new book, I'm including a very powerful audio CD that my dad said to me before he passed away. Perry, let people hear this. It's one of the most important messages I've ever heard. Don't go to hell over a mystery. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at perrystone.org or request offer WWS-146 and include $30 by writing Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Again, that's offer WWS-146. You may not need this book now, but you may need it in the future. I hope you'll order it today. You know, we're doing a series, and I think you kind of catch a theme here about death, parting this life, what happens when a person passes away. The angel of death is coming up soon. So I want you to, watch these, because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. If Jesus tarries, we're all going to face death at some point. Many people go before Ecclesiastes said, why should you die before the time? It is possible to go prematurely. And the question is, why does God allow some to pass what appears to be prematurely? That's what this book is about. It's about premature death. And we also have the message, don't go to hell over mystery. My father heard me preach that. He said, Perry, every person in the body of Christ needs to hear this message. It will help people that have had terrible tragedies in their life. And so I want to include that in the offer. Then also, once you order the offer, that you're going to be given a link and a password to access a very powerful message. Hundreds of people were saved hearing this message. I did it because I want your family members to come back to the Lord. And it's called 1 Minute Left to Live. So when you order the package, you'll get that password of how you can watch this. I hope that you watch it with a family member or tell them, go look at this. Because, you know, people cannot be saved unless they're convicted by the Word of God. I want to announce some of the places that we're going to be coming to December 29th right here in Cleveland, Tennessee at Church of the Harvest. That's at the T.L. Lowry Building, by the way, where they're meeting Sunday morning. January the 12th, Sunday morning at Faith Memorial Church here, Pastor C.A. Cranfield. We want you to come to that one as well. And then February 12th through the 16th, that's 5 days. This is going to be great with my dear friend Walter Hallam at Abundant Life Christian Center in Lamarck, Texas. And all you folks in Texas, you know, get a hotel room and come down tonight and hang out with us. You know, it's going to be a great move of God, great word from God. And then on February 22nd through the 23rd, I'll be at Mosaic Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, Pastor Anthony Daly. And that's going to be 22nd and 23rd of February, by the way, not January, February. And also, we are announcing now the Warrior Fest registration is coming up soon. That's the end of March, Friday, all day Saturday, Sunday morning. And then the Prophetic Summit registration will be coming up soon. That'll be a Wednesday night. Then Thursday, 4 services. Friday, 4 services. Saturday, 4 services. And then I will wrap it up Sunday morning with a book signing. We'll see you. God bless you.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries, including worldwide evangelism, feeding the underprivileged, the Manifest Telecast, creating books and media, prison ministry, and more. As a Partner Strike Force member, you'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, partners-only tours in Israel, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.